Well, this is how it works. He said, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our directions. Not suggestions, directions. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They're not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a way of life which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we're like now. Now, if you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to follow directions. At some of these, you may balk. You may think you can find an easier, softer way. We doubt if you can. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that you are dealing with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for you. But there is one who has all power, and that one is God. You must find him now. Half measures will avail you nothing. You stand at the turning point. Throw yourself under his protection and care with complete abandon. Now we think you can take it. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as your program of recovery. 1. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care and direction of God as we understood him.
Over to the care and direction of God as we understood him. Remember that. We'll refer to it later on.
4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely willing that God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly, on our knees, asking to remove our shortcomings, holding nothing back. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed, became willing to make complete amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of this course of action, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Now you may exclaim, what an order. I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We're not saints. The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic.
It's the doctor's opinion. Some of it in chapter 2 and 3.
The chapter 2, the agnostic.
That's chapter 4.
And our personal adventures before and after.
That's Bill's story and those in the back of the book.
Have been designed to sell you 3 pertinent ideas. Well, Bill was a salesman. He will sell you certain ideas. A, that you are alcoholic and cannot manage your own life.
Step 1.
B, that probably no human power can relieve your alcoholism.
Step 2.
C, that God can and will.
The rest of step 2.
Now, if you're not convinced on these vital issues, you ought to reread the book to this point or else throw it away. Pretty strong.
What could be more clear? It's evident that Bill didn't intend for this to be a set of suggestions. He intended it for be a set of directions. He said so 2 or 3 times. He intended for be a set of directions to the individual alcoholic on how to recover from alcoholism. And when the other members saw it, that's when the crap hit the fan. They said, Bill, you don't have any right to give anybody directions. Nobody has the right to tell anybody else what they're going to have to do. They said also, Bill, this stuff about making complete amends, this stuff about holding nothing back, that sounds too much like the Oxford Group absolutes, and we don't like that, and you're going to have to change it. And Bill said, oh, no, I'm not going to change this. He said, this came after prayer and meditation. He said, what you guys have got to realize is these aren't my words, these are God's words. And they said, well, we don't really give a damn whose words they are. It's our book, and you're going to change it. And he said, no, I'm not. And they said, yeah, you are. And the fight was on. And they almost not only blew the book project, they almost destroyed the fellowship right here. And finally, Bill very reluctantly realized that if we're going to go any further with the book, he's going to have to make some compromises. There was a non-alcoholic psychiatrist around in those days, and he said, why don't you change it from directions to suggestions? He said, probably more people would buy into your ideas than they will if you just force the directions on them. He said, it'll mean the same thing. And he said, where you keep saying must, he said, change that to ought. And he said, where you keep saying you, he said, say we. Don't say this is what you got to do. Tell them this is what we had to do. And he said, probably more people would be more apt to follow these things if you make a few minor changes. Bill very reluctantly agreed to make those changes. But Bill was cunning, baffling, and powerful also. Because he said to the fellowship, he said, okay, I'm going to compromise with you and make the changes, but you're going to have to compromise with me. And they said, well, what do you want? He said, look, I'm tired. He said, I've fought and argued with you all the way through this thing, and especially here and how it works. And he said, if you want me to finish the book, then you give me the authority to do so. And if you don't want to give me the authority, then you finish the book yourself. Well, they didn't want to give him that authority, but they certainly didn't want to have to finish the book either. They very reluctantly agreed to that. Now, what Bill knew that they didn't know is 2 pages later, he's going to put directions and you and must right back in the book. He had it all the way up to how it works, jerks it out of how it works, turns around, puts it right back in, and ruins some of the continuity of the book. But now that we can see what he really intended, it's easy to see what Bill intended for this thing to be, a set of directions to the individual alcoholic on how to recover from alcoholism. The other thing that is so apparent, when he finished up with he talked about our description of the alcoholic, the chapter of the agnostic, our personal ventures before and after, have been designed to sell you 3 pertinent ideas, and the 3 pertinent ideas are involved in steps 1 and 2. People come to us today and they say, well, how do you work steps 1 and 2? And we say, you don't. They are not working steps. They are conclusions of the mind that we draw based on information presented to us in the doctor's opinion and the first 4 chapters. You see, I've always been powerless over alcohol. My life's always been unmanageable because of that. I just did not know that, nor did I know why, until I read the doctor's opinion and the first 4 chapters. There's always been a power greater than I am could restore me to sanity. I just didn't believe that power would do so, nor did I understand the insanity I had to be restored from until I read the doctor's opinion in the first 4 chapters. Now, based on the information we've covered up to this point, if I can sit here today and say, you betcha, I'm powerless over alcohol, my life has become unmanageable, I'm through with step 1. If I can sit here and say, you betcha, I believe there's a power greater than I am can restore me to sanity, I'm through with step 2. You see, the fallacy in trying to start people in chapter 5 is chapter 5 really starts with 3. And they don't have 1 and 2 behind them unless they've absorbed all this information up to this point. It's got to be important because we've used a doctor's opinion and 4 more chapters to talk about steps 1 and 2. We only got 3 more chapters now that talks about the rest of the program. Most of this book is centered on 1 and 2 up to this point. Joe?
Our book says being convinced. Being convinced of what? Being convinced of the ABCs. It says if we're not convinced, we ought to reread the book to this point, or else throw it away. But if we are convinced, we were at step 3. We're not ready to take step 3 yet. We're just there. We finished 1 and 2, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood Him. Well, just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? Pretty good question, isn't it? How do we go about doing that? I have to make a decision to turn my will, and what is my will? My will is my thinking, and my life is my actions. So I'm going to make a decision here to turn my will, my thinking, and my life, my actions over the care, as the book used to say, the care and direction of God as I understood Him. That's what I'm getting ready to do. I haven't done that yet, but I'm getting ready to make that decision to do that.
I think there's three key words in step three that we need to look at very closely. And the first one is the word decision. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I've been in AA 4 or 5 years. My life's still all screwed up. I don't understand why. Because I turned it over to God when I took step three years ago. Now, we don't turn anything over to God in step three. We make a decision to do so. And the decision itself implies that we're going to have to take some further action to do that.